But first, days after vowing to go to war to defend H-1B visas, Elon Musk has declared the system broken and in need for major reform. Now, what are the implications of this, particularly in light of what Donald Trump has said? H-1B visas, so very important for any number of Indians. Well, joining us now to look at this, Manish Maheshwari. We are joined by Fabiana Zangara, an immigration attorney, Sudhanshu Kaushik, and we're also joined by Matt Klink, a Republican strategist. Matt Klink, let me come to you first. There seem to be divergent voices within the Republican Party. On the one hand, you've got Trump and saying that, you know, it's a system that essentially works. It needs to be fine-tuned. Whereas you've got others who say that the system itself needs to go in order to protect American jobs. How would you look at this debate?
Thank you for having me. Look, I think that it's fairly straightforward and simple. You know, with the fact that Donald Trump came out this weekend and said that H-1B visas play an important role in America, and the combination of Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy vote strongly backing it, likely means that it's not going anywhere, which is a good thing for all those H-1B visa recipients. I do think that what Elon Musk did subsequent to that is he came out and said that the system is in need of reform, which, to be honest with you, fits with Donald Trump's mandate that the current system as it stands, not just with H-1B visas, but across the board, is broken and that it needs to be fixed. And ultimately, that's what Donald Trump is going to do. I think, though, where this issue boils down on a political level is that the Democrats are talking about this in the context of immigration. The key word here is legal versus illegal. Donald Trump is going to certainly crack down on illegal immigration, but I would take him at his word when he says that H-1B visas play a valuable role in America and that they certainly will continue.
Fabiana Zangara, critics like, for example, Laura Loomer argue that the H-1B program serves the interests of tech moguls over American citizens. Is there any substantial evidence to support or refute this claim?
So, good evening, everybody, and thank you for the opportunity to speak about the H-1B visa program. So, actually, the U.S. has an elite educational system and it's full of great professions. However, it's also in urgent need of outstanding engineers and other tech professionals from the world all over because the need is huge. So the H-1B visa program actually is a great opportunity for professionals to come to the U.S. and actually help and increase the U.S. economy. So just to give you a few numbers, okay, just in 2022, 72% of the H-1B visa were given to Indian-born professionals. So, and around like 6% of them were like engineers in major tech companies. So definitely the H-1B visa is like an amazing program to bring talents in the U.S., especially for the Indian population.
Sudhanshu Kaushik, Elon Musk has also mentioned that the current system is broken. He's proposed solutions such as raising the minimum salary for H-1B visa holders to make it more costly to hire from overseas than domestically. In the case of any number of Indians every single year looking for an H-1B visa to work in America, would this be a fairly disastrous move?
So actually,
Fabiana, half a second. That's for Sudhanshu Kaushik. Sudhanshu, go ahead.
Vishnu, the question, I think, is premised on assumptions that we don't know yet. I mean, of course, students, which are now the largest international student community, will be impacted by this. They will reconsider going into colleges and universities to study because they value that STEM OPT and that H-1B opportunity lottery that they get. And as you know, students, as well as Indian origin students, are one of the largest contributors to the U.S. education system when it comes to international education. But I think what Matt was saying was, I think, very essential. It's not just, you know, we're talking about H-1B. This issue that has come up is much broader than that, right? The issue is not just about H-1B or not, immigration or not. It's also about simply racism within the Republican Party. The comments that have come out, the discourse that's coming out, of course, they're talking about visas. They're talking about legal versus illegal immigration, but they're all just spiteful too. I mean, I was born and raised in Alabama, so I know when I see racism, and this has become popular discourse. So I think what's to Donald Trump's credit, he was able to make a much larger, I think, wing of voters that are very, very diverse. Now, within that kind of gambit of voters, you have people who are very staunch supporters of H-1B, of Indian immigration, of making sure that, you know, people that are qualified and that have meritocracy are coming in and contributing to the U.S. economy. But at the same gambit of voters, you have people who aren't just commenting on the skills and our kind of, you know, talent. They're commenting on the color of our skin, how we smell like, the food that we eat. And they're making that as the issue. So when we face racism in the United States, they're not judging us by, oh, are you an Indian or are you someone from the Middle East? They're not going to be doing their racism based on that. They're racist because our skin color is brown, because we look different. We're not part of the same homogenous unity that, you know, that they seem to think America is. So I think the conversation and discussion needs to be had on that as well, and put pressure that it's not just about H-1B. It's about, you know, racism and making sure that it's more palatable.
And yet, Sudhanshu, ironically, there are so many, including Vivek Ramaswamy himself, who are people of South Indian origin or of Indian origin, you know, who've done phenomenally well. If you take a look at some of the most successful business leaders in America, from Arvind Krishna to Sundar Pichai to Satya Nadella to Elon Musk himself, you know, these are people who've come or have roots outside America. So there's a huge set of double standards there, right?
Absolutely. And Vishnu, it's not just about these individual figures. I mean, if you think of us Indian Americans as a monolith, we outperform almost every other minority group. So Indian Americans are largely successful. A U.S. sitting Republican representative from Texas had stated on the floor that even though we make 1% of the demographic, we contribute 6% to the economy. So it's not that we're just taking, or this rhetoric that, oh, we're, you know, taking all the money and sending it back home or et cetera. We're contributing a lot to the United States. And on top of that, we're also now contributing to the politics. Now, it's up to others, especially the Republican Party, now that they're in power, now that they've gotten like massive votes. I mean, Vishnu, Edison, New Jersey swung almost 90% from Democrats in 2020 to Republicans in 2024. That means the Indian American vote came out. Now it's up to them to make sure that racism, right, does not conflate and make sure that, you know, we're siding with white supremacy, and rather, you know, we're trying to help all Americans who contribute and who have voted.
Manish, let's talk about a meritocratic admission process. Now, Vivek Ramaswamy, for example, is criticize the current H-1B system for using, for example, a lottery to select visa recipients, advocating instead a merit-based selection process. He says that the best and brightest should be chosen based on their skills and potential contributions, and it's a process that shouldn't be left to chance. Is there sense in this?
Yeah, first of all, Vishnu, thank you for having me here. And of course, what I'm expressing here are my personal views.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at the thinking behind H-1B, I think it's a very well-designed program with an intent to admit people of high skill to fulfill a skill gap in the U.S. And that is why the way it is designed, and there are different criteria that needs to be fulfilled. And it is the whole issue, in my view, has been blown out of proportion, because what we're talking about is a number of about 85,000 H-1B visa every year, as compared to like 10 million visa that are issued by the U.S. every year. So it's a very small number. And it does fulfill a gap. Now, to your question about, my personal view is it should be merit-based and clearly well-defined reason to admit someone. And this would be a legal immigration of highly qualified, skilled people who will contribute to the progress and development of the U.S. Economy and U.S. as a country. And my view is that that is also critical for the U.S. because if you look at the startup founders, the number of companies formed, including Nobel laureates. I'm here at Harvard. So if you look at the people who win Nobel Prizes, a far majority of them are people who were born outside the U.S. and who came to the U.S. under some kind of a legal immigration program and made U.S. their home. And that is what leads to innovation and the vibrancy of culture here. And to my mind, that's a competitive strength of the U.S. So I think even if I were to argue from a U.S. perspective, this is a highly critical and important program to ensure that the best people across the world have a chance to come to the U.S. and U.S. has a formal mechanism to accept them in a way that U.S. can maintain its competitiveness. So from that perspective, yes, I agree with your thinking that, yes, it has to be a merit-based and it should be well-defined. And we need to separate legal immigration from illegal one. And I think the debate you see currently on X and other social media platforms have mixed up everything, right? They are mixing up the legal immigration from the illegal one. They are also losing a sense of the size. It's a very small program of admitting only 85,000 people every year. And third is, look at the outsized impact this program has had on the U.S. economy and the growth of the country. And if you also step back and think about it, intelligence, innovation, competitiveness, highly skills, they are all normally distributed across the world, right? So, I mean, why would a country like U.S. not want to have the best and the brightest of the world to come and make U.S. their home?
And Manish,
this is not about displacing, it's about supplementing, right?
You've held an H-1B yourself,
yeah, I mean,
right?
Early in my career, I mean, when I went to U.S., of course, for my higher education, and then, of course, when I took this job, I was in a... my view is that it works both ways, right? I mean, it gives an opportunity for the candidate to see the U.S. as a country and see whether they want to make it a home. And also for the U.S. to then decide whether they want to extend the H-1B and give them a green card or a citizenship or not.
The point of my asking you that, Manish, is because, you know, you are a case in point in how extremely successful people, perhaps the U.S. should consider an H-1B visa for them. You're a former MD of Twitter India. You're now a Mason Fellow at Harvard University. Surely there would be space in the United States for people as worthy as you. I mean, that's what common sense has to say. But Fabiana, I wanted to come back to you on the larger issue.
Yeah, but I just want to say, Vishnu, I think you are being too generous. I think there are far more qualified people than I am. And I'm surrounded by extremely qualified people here. So I want to make a generic point that, yes, I mean, it's a program that works for the U.S., and it's a program that's very small in size and it has been blown out of proportion in the kind of debate we are seeing on social media currently.
Fabiana, to the larger point that Sudhanshu was speaking to, that there is racism and immigration and concerns about immigration to the U.S. all mixed up, which is why people of a certain ethnicity are potentially being targeted. There's abundant hate on X right now, other social media platforms as well. And therefore, when we look at H-1B and the issue of how visas are given in America, it needs to be looked at through this prism as well. Not just whether it should be a lottery system or not a lottery system, the number should go up, should go down, or it should cost more, should cost less. There is a larger cultural issue here, and that's deeply concerning.
Yes, of course. Like, racism is always like a great concern. According to my experience, we were lucky enough to work on those cases, and we never had we couldn't have like any direct impact on our cases, like the cases that we filed. We have seen that like very well prepared petitions were always like approved, or like even though sometimes USCIS requests like further evidence in order to approve the case, then at the end of the day, we were quite successful with these cases. But culturally speaking, and like in the country, there is a concern about racism and how this could impact like the everyday life. And of course, like immigration, which has a huge impact on people's life, may be affected by racism at all. So we do hope that definitely racism will have no room in the immigration system, even like in the next few years and months when Trump is going to be in power. But according to my experience, right now in the immigration system, there is not a huge concern about racism playing a big role in those immigration cases.
Matt Klink, a final word from you. The divide within the Republican Party, on the one hand, you've got Trump and you've got Vivek Ramaswamy saying that, no, let's fix it, but it's a good thing. Whereas you've got others saying that it has to go completely. Let's protect American jobs. We have campaigned on that plank. How do you reconcile differences within the Republicans?
Two observations on that. I think one is that it's possible to do both, that both are not what you described are not mutually exclusive. I think that it is inevitable that after 4 years of open borders under the Biden-Harris administration and 10 plus million people flooding across the border illegally, that that system is going to get a complete overhaul on January 20th when Donald Trump takes over. The second point, though, is I think the most important point, is that taking Donald Trump as the leader of the Republican Party, as well as the president of the United States in 3 weeks, he supports H-1B visas. I think that the combination of Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and Vivek Ramaswamy, they will pull the rest of the Republican Party, which I think is a small but vocal minority, to support H-1B visas, provided that progress is made on stemming the flow of illegal immigrants largely across the southern border. And I take Trump at his word that he supports it. And at this point, I think that the combo of Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk on side pushing for it indicates a high likelihood that H-1B visas not only will be preserved, but will be reformed to make the program stronger, because America benefits from H-1B visa holders in our country. And I think that we have enough room for not only H-1B visa holders, as well as creating jobs for Americans. So, we can have a win-win. The two are not mutually exclusive.
Sudhanshu, last question to you. You're the executive director of the North American Association of Indian Students. Indian students, the largest international cohort of students in the United States, bring in huge, foreign exchange to the United States. They bring in a lot of money. Now, we've seen in Australia, not so much Australia, but certainly in Canada and in the United Kingdom, a sharp decline in the number of Indian students who are applying with visa rules and the possibility of jobs post a degree declining. If things were to change in America with H-1B visas, would a serious source of revenue for American universities potentially be impacted?
Absolutely. Look, in the United States, there is still a huge, huge opportunity, even though it's been happening for the past 30, 40 years. But there's still a catalytic opportunity for Indians to come on an F-1 visa, then transition to an OTP and OPT, and then eventually to the H-1B. And universities know this. I mean, college enrollment domestically has been decreasing for the past 30 years. So they need international students, specifically Indian international students, to come in and to ensure that these seats are being taken. And one thing, Vishnu, that I wanted to clarify, we keep talking about merit-based H-1B. There's going to be reform. Vishnu, the United States is not India, right? The H-1B is not on a, quota system. There's no caste quota, et cetera, et cetera. So when we're talking about merit, what are we talking about? Because the merit to get a job has already been there. The employer hired you. So when you think about the actual H-1B lottery, it's not, oh, you belong to this caste or this religion, you're going to get special preferences in the United States. Absolutely not. It's a lottery system. So I'm just worried that when we're talking about reform and we're putting it out on X and we're, having this discourse, what does that really come with? There needs to be some surety that's been given to these students, that's been giving to these people that are then applying and investing so much, that it's just not a free-for-all, right? Yeah. Reform for the sake of reform, but, how do we make it productive and what's the brevity of it?
Look, I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us. This is front page news in India today. H-1B is highly aspirational in this country, and certainly one would need to look at how the politics in the United States goes forward. I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us.